If the native wants the cargo, then he too must do these things.
It is striking that similar cargo cults sprang up independently on islands that were widely separated both geographically and culturally. David Attenborough tells us that
anthropologists have noted two separate outbreaks in New Caledonia, 4 in the Solomons, 4 in Fiji, 7 in the New Hebrides, and over 50 in New Guinea, most of them being quite independent and unconnected with one another. The majority of these religions claim that one particular messiah will bring the cargo when the day of the apocalypse arrives.
The independent flowering of so many independent but similar cults suggests some unifying features of human psychology in general. One famous cult on the island of Tanna in the New Hebrides, known as Vanuatu since 1980, is still extant. It is centred on a messianic figure called John Frum. References to John Frum in official government records go back only as far as 1940, but even for so recent a myth, it is not known for certain whether he ever existed as a real man. One legend described him as a little man with a high-pitched voice and bleached hair, wearing a coat with shining buttons. He made strange prophecies, and he went out of his way to turn the people against the missionaries. Eventually, he returned to the ancestors, after promising a triumphal second coming, bearing bountiful cargo. His apocalyptic vision included a great cataclysm. The mountains would fall flat, and the valleys would be filled. Old people would regain their youth, and sickness would vanish. The white people would be expelled from the island, never to return. And cargo would arrive in great quantity, so that everybody would have as much as he wanted. Most worryingly for the government, John Frum also prophesied that on his second coming, he would bring a new coinage stamped with the image of a coconut. The people must therefore get rid of all their money of the white man's currency. In 1941, this led to a wild spending spree. The people stopped working, and the island's economy was seriously damaged. The colonial administrators arrested the ringleaders, but nothing that they could do would kill the cult, and the mission churches and schools became deserted. A little later, a new doctrine grew up that John Frum was King of America. Providentially, American troops arrived in the New Hebrides around this time, and, wonder of wonders, they included black men, who were not poor like the islanders, but
as richly endowed with cargo as the white soldiers. Wild excitement overwhelmed Tanna. The day of the apocalypse was imminent. It seemed that everyone was preparing for the arrival of John Frum. One of the leaders said that John Frum would be coming from America by aeroplane, and hundreds of men began to clear the bush in the centre of the island so that the plane might have an airstrip on which to land.
The airstrip had a bamboo control tower with air traffic controllers wearing dummy headphones made of wood. There were dummy planes on the runway to act as decoys, designed to lure down John Frum's plane. In the 1950s, the young David Attenborough sailed to Tanna with a cameraman, Geoffrey Mulligan, to investigate the cult of John Frum. They found plenty of evidence of the religion and were eventually introduced to its high priest, a man called Nambas. Nambas referred to his messiah familiarly as John and claimed to speak regularly to him by radio. This radio belonged John, consisted of an old woman with an electric wire around her waist who would fall into a trance and talk gibberish, which Nambas interpreted as the words of John Frum. Nambas claimed to have known in advance that Attenborough was coming to see him because John Frum had told him on the radio. Attenborough asked to see the radio but was, understandably, refused.